And I do ask, dear Lord, that you would persuade us of your mercy, of your grace, and that you would persuade us of your love and of your goodwill towards us and of your great desire to that we would walk with you and that we would delight in your presence. Just do ask you, Father, to to be with us here in this at this hour, Lord. Ask Father that you would give increase to the few loaves and fishes that we have here today. Pray that you would minister to each heart. Pray that it could just be a vessel for your use. To ask Father for your for clarity of mind and thought. I do ask Father for your blessing upon us all at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. This morning I was very blessed to be here. It's good to see each of you. You could turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians of chapter 1. For a verse, I very much appreciated everything that was came forth here in this morning already. The song service and the the singing especially blessed me this morning. Reading that chapter of Cletus was very inspiring. Thank you for those thoughts. Our responsibilities in God's kingdom and the high calling of God in this life. It's a high calling because it comes through from a great mercy. God's mercy to us that we should be part of His kingdom and that we should be called to labor in His kingdom and that we should be called to make known His ways on the earth. We are so unworthy that we should So I have a verse here in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I just wanted to title that from that verse and that phrase, the Father of mercies. I'd like to look at, draw our hearts and minds to one of God's attributes this morning. The very foundation of our salvation is God's mercy. I'd like for us just to have a short message here, and then I was kind of expecting a small group here this morning, and I thought we would maybe do something a little bit different. I was hoping for y'all to participate a little bit later here in the service, so maybe you can prepare your hearts for that as we let's have a short message here on God's mercy, God's great mercy. You could turn to Peter, 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it says here that that it was in the beginning, that it was according to his abundant mercy. We can turn to Titus chapter 3. As I was seeking the Lord this week and what the Lord would have us to meditate on today and to consider, it seemed that this is what the Lord wanted me to share this morning. So we're trusting Him that He would minister to our hearts. In Titus chapter 3, starting on verse 3, the scripture says that we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And those verses in a few words, they say so much. The contrast between verse 3 and verse 7. That the foolish, disobedient, and deceived, living after their own lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, and in verse 7, of being justified and made heirs of God with hope of eternal life. And that the contrast between those two verses is God's mercy. And in verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the word regeneration there, the definition from the Strong's, I really appreciated. But it says a spiritual renovation. Now, it's a spiritual, what's the word it used? A spiritual, I lost that word. But the next phrase it used the word a messianic renovation. Have you had a messianic renovation in your life? We know what it means to renovate, to take something that's worn out and broken down and to renovate it, to make it new, to make it useful, to make it what it ought to be. The term there, a washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. God's mercy, God's great mercy. And one more scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting on verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. The burden of what I wanted to share this morning is just simply that attribute that our God that our God is rich in mercy. And because of that, there is hope for you and I this morning. There is hope for every one of us. There is hope for the beggar. There is hope for the king. There's hope for us. There's hope for you and I, because God is rich in mercy. And something seems to be missing here. I would like to turn to a familiar chapter that I'd like to go through this morning that I know you're very familiar with. But it's a verse, it's a chapter that exalts the mercy of God. And we'd like to look at a few things there this morning. And if you could turn to Psalm 103. I grew up going to a church where the first 10 verses or so would get quoted almost every Sunday in German. And I, the other morning it started coming to me, and I realized I could still quote it in German. And I don't think it even meant that much to me back then. But I'd like to go through Psalm 103 here and have a few thoughts on this. Bless the Lord, David here, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We'll come back to these two verses at the end. But David, calling on his own soul, and he said, all that is within me, all my strength, bless the Lord. Forget not all his benefits, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Some time back, I was talking to my children, and I asked them, what would life be like if we would live to be 70 years old and our bodies, and that nothing would ever heal? But every bruise and every cut, every fall, every broken bone, nothing would heal, we would be more miserable than Job, I believe. But the Lord Jesus is the one who heals. And does he heal? It says here, healeth all thy diseases. We know that needs to be in proper context of that our bodies, these bodies will pass away in this life. But he heals us, and we can all testify to that. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. How many can testify in here this morning that you've been redeemed from destruction? And that God, in his mercy, because of his mercy, is willing to take a life that is headed for complete destruction and crown him with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Brother Timothy was sharing this morning of, maybe it was in the prayer room, of the Lord providing for us in such abundance. And we know that there are hungry people in the world, in this world of sin. Things don't always function according to God's will. But yet God seeks to provide for his creation. And in light of a of a rebellious mankind that seeks to go his own way continually, and yet God sheds rain on the just and the unjust, and as evidence of his mercy. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. There's a lot of oppression in this world, and there are many people who are oppressed, many people who are not treated as they ought to be. And the Lord sees it in exact detail, and judgment will be an exact judgment for all that are oppressed. That's the most amazing thought to me. Verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. If you could turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. And we know this account. We know that Moses asked the Lord that he would like to see him. That he would like to see that he would like to see God. That he would like to see the glory of God. And God said, "You can't see my face because no man can see my face and live." But he said, "I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock here. And I'll cover you with my hand, and I'll take away my hand, and you shall see me from the back, but my face shall not be seen." And in Exodus 34, verse 5, it says that the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And I believe what God revealed to Moses there was God revealed to him his character. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. And I want you to just to meditate on these words. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. It says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the ground and worshipped. I believe a revelation of God, of a God that is merciful and gracious, will cause us to worship. Verse 8 says that the Lord is merciful and gracious. Back in Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. When I look at my life, I am thankful this morning that the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. This description of God is word for word a number of times in the scripture. I didn't count. That he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And I think it's the greatness of his holiness. It exalts the greatness of his mercy. When we see him in all of his holiness, I believe that we will have a greater understanding of how merciful he has been to us. Verse 9 speaks of chastening. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. A merciful God is willing to chasten those that he loves. And we live in a generation that does not believe in that chastening is that it works. And we see the results of that. And it helps us to realize that our God is very merciful in his chastening. Verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Is it precious to you that God has dealt with us in mercy? I believe it's possible in a setting where we speak much of the forgiveness of sins and we talk and we that the Lord has reached out to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus, that it's possible for our children to take for granted the forgiveness of sins and that it not be precious to them. Verse 11 says, for as high as the heaven above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. How great. Who can, what tongue can tell how high is the heaven above the earth? What tongue can tell the greatness of God's mercy toward them that fear him? Verse 12 says, for as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Is that a reality to you this morning? What does that do in your heart? Does it compel you to serve him? Does it compel you to love him? That your transgressions are removed from you by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, in Acts, there's a verse I'm going to quote part of it. It says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all nations. I'm thankful this morning that repentance and remission of sins has been preached here. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And I'd like you to take note here that these verses end with a little phrase. It says, toward them that fear him. And God's mercy is precious to them that fear him. That God would pity us is precious to us if you fear him. If we could turn to James chapter 5. We have these words. Behold, we count them happy, I'll start maybe in verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. A beautiful description of that we can relate to as fathers. Trust that most of you fathers know what it's like to look at your children and to see what they're struggling with. They're struggling with the flesh, with the carnal nature, and to look at them and pity them, and to see their great need and to have a pity and to know that. The next verse says here, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." The Lord looks at us and he knows that as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. And I remember, I believe, one of the first times I read verses 17 and 18. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and those that remember his commandments to do them." We could turn to Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25, we sang about this morning. It was a blessing to me. We have this account of where God instructed Moses to make a mercy seat. In Exodus 25, verse 18. And what we see here, is God reaching out to his people. God wanting to be with his people. God wanting to relate to them. And he wanting them to relate to him. Verse 17. "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof. And a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shalt thou make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." And he speaks there of that testimony that he gave to Moses. The 10 commandments were in that ark. And I was blessed with just with the verses in Psalms 103 that to those that keep his, that remember his commandments to do them. And God is still looking to meet us. God is still looking to meet us at the mercy seat, close to his commandments. Those who are seeking God, that his mercy is not far from his commandments. His commandments are given to us in mercy. I was contemplating that this week, of the mercy of the Lord in giving us instruction for our lives, that our lives don't need to be wasted. And that his commandments guide us into fruitful and purposeful lives that will glorify him. They prepare us for our eternal purposes. We are eternal creatures. And his commandments prepare us for eternal life. But he'll meet us there. He'll meet us. That mercy seat, the picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If we'll meet him, looking to him for mercy, he will not turn us away. We could turn to Psalm 33. Brother shared this verse with me a week ago. Psalm 33, verse 18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Verse 19 in Psalm 103, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And I was just encouraged here by the heart of David, who calls on the angels to worship God. And he says, bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who could tell this morning the greatness of God's mercy? And wanted this morning to be an exhortation to draw nigh to God. We have access to the God of heaven through Jesus Christ, the Son. There is no need today. There's no need to be distanced or estranged from God. Many of God's children today, I believe, are not as close to him as God would like them to be. Many of God's children walk at a distance from God. They are distracted or busy with life, and yet God in his mercy. Through Jesus Christ has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You remember the story of King Ahasuerus in Esther's day, when Esther wanted to go see the king, and she had this great fear that if she approached the king, that he might not hold out his scepter. And she would die. She would have died instantly. I believe they would have. It was punishable by death to approach the king. If the king didn't hold out his scepter and receive you, and you walked in uninvited, you would die there. But the scepter of God is extended to us in Jesus Christ. It's already extended. We can draw nigh because God is merciful. What's our response to God's mercy and the high calling that Cletus was talking about? The high calling to reflect his mercy in this generation. The high calling to be merciful to one to another and to our children. For the second part of the message here, I'd like to go back to verse 1. And back to verse 1 of Psalm 103, where David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Christian people, those that are in Christ, those that name the name of Christ, ought to be the most thankful and joyful people. And as I look at my life, the Lord has convicted me that that's not always the case. But David here, a good example of not looking to his circumstances, but looking to a God of mercy, a God that was a father to him, and instructing his soul to bless the Lord. And I'd like to encourage us in that today. Thankfulness is a great cure for a lot of Christianity's woes. Thankfulness is a great cure for covetousness and all those things that distract us from our communion with the Lord. A humble thanksgiving, a thankful heart. And I know there's a lot of brothers in here that are ahead of me in this. But I'd like for us to learn from David, who blessed the Lord. We could turn to Psalm 34, back almost to where we were. Psalm 34, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Together, I'm sorry. Let us exalt his name together. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. If I can read that right. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I'd like to encourage us today to thankfulness and worship. Psalm 94, I spoke of this earlier, but are you thankful for chastening today? Maybe you're in a place of chastening. Psalm 94, verse 10 says this, he that chasteneth, chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Blessed is the man that is not fatherless, that receives chastening from the Lord, while there is a pit being digged for the wicked. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. I'd like for us to just consider that this morning, that the Lord is great. He is greatly to be praised. For the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge his people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and the people with his truth. I'm going to close with that. what I thought would be a blessing here this morning, and I actually took longer than I meant to. Hopefully we'll still have a little time here. But if there be anyone here this morning that that would feel inspired to give a short testimony and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord for his goodness this morning, that we as a people would give God the glory due to his name. And I'm going to just take my seat, and maybe Brother Timothy would want to come up. Are you going to close? And maybe we just he could just give everyone opportunity. If anyone would be here that would, I don't want to pressure anyone, but lift up your voice and bless the Lord. Give a few words of testimony of the Lord's goodness in your life. And maybe there's a chastening. Maybe the Lord is showing you great need in your life. I think you should bless the Lord, because there's a vast multitude of heathen who don't see their need. And I'll just close with that. The Lord's blessings to all of you. I'm thankful. Thankful to the God of heaven for intervening in my life, redeeming me from a life of destruction and sin, for working in my family, in my home. We have great need. But God be for us. Who can be against us? So I'll just turn the time over to Brother Timothy, and then we could just have a little time of, I don't want to pressure anyone, but I would encourage the young men, young people, the sisters, if you have a word to bless the Lord this morning in the congregation, I think it would be a blessing. God bless you all.